Thank you for doing such a good job there. In your bulletin is an insert, and it gives us some of the scriptures. Today, we are beginning a series of sermons focusing on the encounters people had with the risen Christ. We're calling it Close Encounters of the Risen Kind. If you were here last Sunday, you know that Diana preached on Mark's version of the resurrection story. In that story, in Mark, the women heard the news that Jesus had risen, but they were so frightened that they left the tomb in fear and trembling, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, one of the conclusions that Diana drew from that story was that it takes more than an empty tomb and even more than words from an angel to really convince us that Jesus rose from the dead. It takes an encounter with the risen Jesus. It may be in a vision. It may be through study. It may be through an inner assurance that you are loved and cared for. Jesus continues to come to us in a variety of ways, even today. But it's easy to miss the encounters. So for the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at the encounters biblical people had with the risen Jesus. It's our hope that as we look at these encounters, we'll learn some things that will help us to be more in tune with the ways Jesus wants to encounter us today. So we have a special guest. Here we come. The first person to encounter the risen Christ was, you remember? Mary Magdalene. All four Gospels mention her in the accounts of that first Easter morning. I mean, if you just glance at it there, the start of every one of them. Gospel of Mark says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. That's Mark. Luke, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And then later on, it even tells who the women were there. All right, then the Gospel of John. Early on the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And even that first Gospel of Matthew says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Wow. Well, they all mention Mary Magdalene. Each of their stories are there for you in that insert for you to read and study later. But right now, I'd like you to realize that here comes a special guest. We're going to listen to what Mary Magdalene might have to say about the different stories that are told.
Good morning. I am so glad you are here. I thought after Reverend Diana preached on Mark's story, the resurrection, maybe you wouldn't come. That boy, Mark, I don't know why he had to end his gospel the way he did, telling him we didn't say anything to anyone. Well, excuse me, I should introduce myself. I'm Mary. I'm Mary Magdalene from the little town of Magdala. That's why they call me Mary. Well, I'm so glad to meet all of you. I'm Mary. Glad to meet you. Glad to meet you. I was the head female follower of Jesus. You know, we females didn't get very much press. They were always talking about the male followers of Jesus, calling them the disciples. But actually, we females, we did a lot. We were always there, you know, really taking care of things, providing the food and the clothes and all those things. Thank goodness, at least Luke's a pretty good guy. Luke mentioned, gave us a little bit of press, saying that there were also a group of women who provided for Jesus out of their resources. Well, but that's all right. We didn't do it for the honor or glory. We did it because we loved Jesus. But we did. We did get top press on the resurrection. Now, all those gospel writers, they all mentioned us as the first ones to know about the resurrection. So I guess I have to forgive them a little bit, because at least they did say it was the women who saw first that, who heard the news first that Christ was risen. But of course, the problem is that all those guys that wrote the Gospels they didn't quite get it right. You know, they didn't get the whole story. And they each just told a little bit of the story. And so people down through the ages have said, well, was Mark the right one? Or was it Luke? Luke had to be the right one. Or maybe it was John. After all, he's the beloved one. Or maybe it was Matthew. Which one was right? So I was there. So I'm here to tell you the truth. Do you know which one got it right? Was it Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? I'm here to tell you the answer. The answer is yes. They all got it right. They all got it right. The thing of it is, they just didn't get the whole story. Every one of them was right, though. And so I'll tell you the rest of the story, the whole story, so you can understand how it all happened. So I'll tell you what happened. First of all, it began like Mark said. Because, you see, Jesus was crucified on Friday. Now, at sundown Friday begins the Sabbath, and it goes till sundown Saturday. And because it got dark so early on that Friday, nobody could do anything to do the body right like that we usually do when it's buried. So as soon as the sun started down on Saturday, we women went out and bought some spices and began to prepare everything so that we could anoint the body of Jesus like we always do when somebody dies. So very early on the first day of the week, on Sunday, we started out toward the tomb with our spices. But as we were going, we began to kind of kick ourselves and say, duh, what are we doing here? We forgot to get the men to come along. Because, you see, there had been this big, huge stone that was in front of the tomb. I mean, it was not just a little stone. It was a big, huge stone just like that one up there. My goodness, how'd you get a picture of that right up there? I've heard about this new technology stuff that you have, but I never thought about it. It looks just like that. Isn't that amazing? That's just the way that tomb looked. It was a big old stone. Took a lot of people, a bunch of men, to push that ahead. Well, anyway, we were worrying about how we were going to roll that stone back. You can see how we'd worry about that. And we were saying, well, who is going to roll the stone back for us? And we were stewing and saying, who's going to do that? And then suddenly we looked up. And we saw that the stone had been rolled back just like that. Now, how did that picture change? That looks just like that tomb where they laid Jesus. And that stone had been rolled back and the door to that tomb was open. Well, I don't know how you got that picture up there. Who's changing that picture? Don't worry, Mary. Just accept it. I mean, that's just the way it is with a lot of things. So the first lesson I hope you can learn from me today is that you don't need to worry. Don't worry. You see, half the things we worry about, we don't need to worry at all about. I mean, we were worried about who was going to roll back that stone, and voila, it was just rolled back. You know, Jesus told us when he was alive that we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. But it's just sort of our nature to worry, especially us Jewish women. We're just always worried about this or that. But I've seen it happen time and time again. It just don't worry. If you're doing what you know God wants you to do, if you're doing that, just go ahead and do it, and God's going to take care of things. So don't worry. First thing you need to learn today from me is to just not worry about stone. If there's some kind of worry in your life today, are any of you worried about anything? Are you worried about what you're going to have for dinner? No. I heard you're not worried about that because now you guys, you just go out to eat. Is that right? You don't cook dinner. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We used to in the old days worry about what we're going to eat. But maybe you're worried about your children. Are you worried about that son? Yes, I heard about that. You might be worried about your son too, right? Or what else are you worried about? Maybe a job or, well, you know, there are lots of things that you can worry about. But just put it in God's hands. Do your best, but don't worry. It doesn't help anything. So you just don't worry about those big stones. Well, now look at that. Those words, worry, don't worry. How'd they get up there? Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. Okay. I don't understand this new technology, but I don't understand a lot of new things. But I'll tell you, don't worry, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Let's see, where was I? Oh, we were going to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. So we got there, and we saw that it was rolled away, so we just went into that tomb. I thought the disciples had gotten there. You know, some of those guy disciples had gone there before us, and they would be in there taking care of the body. So we went in to see whether it was James or John or Thaddeus or Simon the Zealot or, you know, whichever one it was going to be. And we got in there, and we looked, and there was a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe that was shining and bright. It almost blinded you, this white robe. I've never seen any robe so white. And then he said, "Do not be alarmed." Whoa, his voice just echoed throughout that whole thing. I never heard a voice like that ever. Oh my goodness. "Do not be alarmed." Yeah, right. What would you be? Here you are expecting somebody else, and then you see somebody with this lightning bright robe with this weird voice. I mean, we jump 10 feet in the air. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. That tomb ceiling wasn't 10 feet up. But anyway, we jumped. We were scared, and we started backing out of that tomb right away. I mean, it's kind of scary just being in a tomb anyway. But then with this weird looking guy, and he said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look where they laid him." Well, he was right. There wasn't anybody there. It was empty. But we were just kind of, okay, all right. And then he told us to go tell the disciples about it. Well, we just kind of almost fell over each other trying to get out of there as fast as we could. And we ran all the way back to that house we were staying, and we didn't say a word to anybody till we got there. And we sat down underneath that tree, that olive tree, and all three of us looked at each other, and we said, "Did you see what I saw?" And they were, "What'd you see?" You know, I mean, none of us really wanted to admit what we saw. I mean, we were just really kind of scared about the whole thing. So we decided it would be best if we just didn't say anything to anybody. So Mark was right. We didn't say anything to anyone for at least a half an hour. So we just went in, and we were just trying to go about our business. But our heads were swimming. We thought, what? What are we going to do? Well, there we were. We were trying to get breakfast. But, you know, we were just still kind of in a daze. And then Joanna said she wanted to go to the tomb. And she'd been working on her spices. So she said, "Want to go to the tomb?" And kind of Mary and Salome and I kind of looked at each other. And, okay. You know, so we decided we'd go back to the tomb. So there we were. We were going back to the tomb. And I kept saying all the way there, "Now, don't worry, Mary. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know that stone is rolled back. And that young man there, he didn't hurt you. So if he's going to hurt you, he would have done it there. So don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry." Well, we got there, and the stone was rolled back just like it had been. And we went in. But this time, there wasn't one guy there with a shiny white robe. This time, there were two guys there in these big shining robes just like lightning, just like Luke said. just like Luke. There were two guys. And they said, why are you looking for, why do you look for the dead among the, if they're alive? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Something like that. I thought, well, I don't know. And again, the angel showed us where Jesus had been laid. And then the angel reminded us that Jesus had said while he was alive that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And we remember that he had said something sort of like that. But I just personally didn't even pay any attention to that when Jesus started talking about it. Several times he'd talk about that, and I just busy myself with something else. I mean, surely that couldn't be what he was really meaning. He always was talking in parables, and somehow that must be some kind of parable or something. But I remember he did say that. So we left the tomb again, and on the way back we said, well, we better tell those disciples about this. We better tell them. So we got back to the house, and we tried to tell them about it. We tried to be rational about the whole thing, you know, but we were excited. So we just were all talking at the same time and telling them about there were angels and he's alive and he's why do you see the living among the dead and all these things and that he was alive and that he'd go to Nazareth, Galilee ahead of us. And we tried to tell them all this stuff, but I guess we were talking so fast and we were so excited that they just thought we were crazy. They said, it's nonsense. And then they said the thing that really got me. They said, it's just idle tales of women. I hate that. Like, we didn't know what we were talking about. Really teed me off. But anyway, you know, that's the way it was. They didn't believe us. So the other women, they stayed and argued a little while, and they got breakfast. But I just couldn't stay in that house. I didn't want to even, you know, want to be there. So I went back to the tomb. I mean, this is the third time that day. And I went back there. And on the way, I'm telling myself, now, Mary, what's going on here? What is going on? So I got there and I again saw that stone had been rolled away and that the door was wide open. And I thought, those men have got to come see this. They just have to get here. So I went back and I decided I would tell them that somebody had stolen the body. That should get them. You know, somebody's stolen the body. I know men, and they like to investigate. You know, that'd get them all upset about things. They'd have to come see. So I went back, and I said, they've stolen the body. They've taken the body away. So that worked. Peter and John both headed out toward the tomb, and I followed, just like John said in his gospel. So we got to the tomb. It was kind of cute because John, you know, he's younger and he's in good shape, and he ran as fast as he could, but he got there and then he didn't do anything. He just kind of stood there with his mouth open. But Peter, even though he is a little chubby and overweight, you know, he's chugging along, and he gets there and he just rushes right in. So John followed. And when they got in that tomb, you know what happened? It was empty. There wasn't anybody there. But guess what? There weren't any angels there either. Oh, oy vey. What do you do? So, of course, they didn't blame me about the angels. I know the angels weren't there. And they didn't know what to do. They saw the burial cloths all kind of rolled up and off to another side. And then they were just kind of looking around. And I could tell maybe John was beginning to believe, but Peter didn't, they couldn't figure it out. So they went on back to the house. But I couldn't go back to that house. So I sat outside the tomb, and all I could do was cry. I don't know. Just everything came in on me. And I was just there crying, and I couldn't figure it out. I mean, there weren't any angels there. They didn't see any angels. maybe there weren't angels after all. Maybe it was true what I said, that somebody just stolen the body. So, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I just kind of talked myself into thinking that somebody had stolen the body. That was the most reasonable thing. I knew the body was gone. That had to be true. So it must be that somebody stole that body. Well, as I was there in front of the tomb, I just kind of looked in again. And what do you know, when I looked in again, well, I guess what I saw? That's right, two of them. Now, why weren't those angels there when Peter and John had been there? I don't know. It's more of this mysterious ways of God. I don't know. But there were the angels. And they said to me, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I said, "Well, they've taken away the body of my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And then I turned around, and the sun was coming up by that time. It was really bright coming up, and there was a man standing right in front of the sun, and so all I could see was just his shadow. And he said to me, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Well, I didn't know who the guy was. I figured he was the gardener or something. So I said, "Well, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take care of him." Then the man said, "Mary." I knew in a flash it was Jesus, because nobody said my name like he did. Mary. Oh, I knew it was Jesus. It was Jesus. It was really Jesus. Oh, I hugged him and I kissed him. I fell at his feet and I was kissing his feet. I was so excited. Oh, it was so great. It was, you know, it was just, oh, it was so wonderful. It was really, really Jesus. And then he said to me, "Don't hold on to me." What do you mean, don't hold on to me? Of course I'm going to hug you, and of course I'm going to hold on to you. You know, there's an old song that a bunch of old people like to sing. I know they sang it in the other service, you know, "In the garden, I come to the garden alone, and he walks with me, and he talks with me." You know, some of you might know that old song. Well, the author, the composer of that song, was thinking about me when he wrote it. Because he knew I didn't want to leave the garden. I wanted to stay in the garden with Jesus. Just to talk with him and walk with him and have Jesus all to myself. That's what I wanted. But Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me." And so here's an important thing for you to learn from me today. And that is that you must not be possessive with Jesus. Don't be possessive. That means don't try to just hold on to Jesus and make it all of your own. Don't be possessive. And a lot of people today want to just, "Oh, I'm going to spend time in prayer, and I'm going to sing hymns, and I'm just going to be close to Jesus. And we're just going to have, Jesus and I are going to have a wonderful time." And that's what it means to be religious, just to be me and Jesus. You know, but I know there's nothing wrong with spending time in prayer. That's a really good thing to do, and sing hymns and all that kind of thing. But it doesn't stay there. You can't be possessive of Jesus. You can't have Jesus all to yourself. Because you know what Jesus tells you to do? You know what Jesus told me to do? Go tell the others. Go tell. Yep, that's what he said. Oh, there it is, right there. Isn't that amazing? Don't be possessive. Go tell. That is exactly what Jesus said. So, well, Jesus tells you to do something, you got to do it. So I went back and I told them that I had seen the Lord. Well, you know what? They began to believe me just a little bit more that time, because, you know, I wasn't saying something about angels or an empty tomb. I was actually saying I'd seen the Lord. And they began to listen a little more. But then Mary, the other Mary, Mary the mother of James, she said, "Well, I want to go to the tomb too. So, okay, come on." So Mary, we came to the tomb. I think that made my fifth trip that morning. But I went to the tomb and I'm thinking, all right, this is going to be great. But as we were coming to the tomb this time, as we were walking up there, guess what happened? I mean, God is always full of surprises. There's always something new happening. So we're coming up and we're getting close to the tomb, and suddenly there was a violent earthquake. And then the angel came down and sat right on that stone. Well, also, that was, there were some soldiers, guards by the tomb. Well, they began to shake when the earth began to shake. And then when they saw the angel sitting on the stone, they were just like frozen, like, it was funny. But, you know, I'd been there, and I wasn't scared of that angel. So I knew what was happening. This is the part of the story. Matthew likes the dramatic part about the earthquake. So this was the part that Matthew told about. So the angel, again, he said, "Don't be afraid." I don't know what it is about angels. That's the first thing they say to you all the time. Don't be afraid. Okay, all right, I'm getting used to this now. All right, so then he shows us where Jesus has been. And then, guess what he says? He says, go tell. That's what they say. Go tell. So, as we were going along, we went back to the house. I was going to go tell some more. But as we were going along the road this time with Mary, and there were a couple other women that had come along this time, and as we were going back talking about how we were going to tell others about the fact that the angel had been there, it's an earthquake, and that Jesus was alive, suddenly Jesus appeared on the road right there in front of us. So the other women saw him too. It wasn't just me. Ooh, they were so excited. And they were so excited. They fell down and they were kissing his feet too. And they were just, we were just all really excited about this whole thing. It was wonderful. But then, of course, guess what Jesus tells us? He spends a little time with us and then he says, go tell. That's exactly right. Go tell. So we went back and we told, and we've been telling everybody ever since. Go tell. You just have to have. You know, that's just what it is about your faith. I don't know. It's another part of the mysterious way God works. As you encounter Jesus, you just have to tell others about it. And the more you tell other people, the more your own faith grows. As you tell, your faith grows. So I hope you learned that from me today. And you just need to go tell people about Jesus. But then there's another thing that I hope you really learn today. And that is that you may not encounter Jesus the first time you go looking. You know, the first time I went to the tomb, I didn't quite get it. The second time, I didn't quite get it. The third time, I got it less. You know, but it took a fourth and fifth time to really get it. So what I hope you'll learn is that you need to keep looking. Yeah, keep looking. Keep looking. You know, it might not happen the first time you come to church. You know, I've heard Reverend Diane and Reverend Bob tell you that you can have an encounter with the risen Christ yourself, that it might happen. Might happen when you're reading the Bible, or it might happen when you're going someplace with a friend. It might even happen when you come to church. But if it doesn't happen the first time, just keep looking. Come back to church. Maybe you came on a bad day. You know, maybe the preacher's having a bad day, or the choir's singing off key, or Jeannie gets a bad note on her clarinet. You know, I mean, there might be a lot of different things that happen. But keep coming. Keep on looking. You know, you got to keep on looking, because the risen Christ is here, and the risen Christ will encounter you. It may be when you're with some friends. It may be at church, but the risen Christ is just right around the corner. Right around the corner. And I know this because I have experienced the risen Christ. I know he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. So go tell. Go tell. Don't worry about anything. Go tell. Christ is alive, and you will encounter him. Go tell. Go tell. Go tell everybody you know.
Go tell Christ is alive.